Today's part, today's Shabbos is given a title because it's the Shabbos that we begin to read the Torah from literally the beginning of the scroll. It's called the name of the Parsha is Parshas Bereishis. Bereishis means in the beginning. So therefore, the Shabbos is called Shabbos Bereishis, Shabbos of the beginning. It is considered to be a very joyous Shabbos in most ordinary years, usual times. And this Shabbos is not going to be any different. We, as Jews, as an interesting comment, as Jews, we don't approach our tzaris with depression. We approach our tzaris with even more assurance, and therefore simcha and joy that we should be saved. So we actually approach difficult times not with trepidation, although of course we're worried, not with paralysis, even though of course we're afraid, but we are internally, we have what's called in Hebrew bitachon. Bitachon is trust. We have emunah, which is the Hebrew word for faith. So it's a very different perspective. If you know that you're about to go and do something, it's difficult. There's a lot of things that you are not sure about. This is the way the Jewish nation has approached all of our tzaras from the beginning. There is, of course, the very famous story when the Jews were first confronted with the problems of Israel. When was the first time that the Jews were confronted with the difficult, physical, and dangerous people in Israel? That's when we first had to conquer Israel. We were in the desert. We left Egypt. The Egyptians, they themselves were difficult people. We were slaves for 100 years, just about. Very, very difficult. And we're going to the promised land. We're going to Israel. It's going to be amazing. That's what Moshe told us. And then the spies come back. And the spies come back and they say, we send scouts. And they come back and they say, and these are respected men in the community, and they say, it's impossible to conquer. It's impossible to settle. The people are too powerful. It's a suicide mission, they say. They say even God himself couldn't do it. And the people were absolutely frightened. This was the first time in Jewish, and it's written right in the Chumash. The Jewish people were absolutely beside themselves with fright. They didn't know what to do. They said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's bury ourselves right here. What about our children? They were worried like no to no end. So two of the spies, as you know the story, Yehoshua and Kalev, Joshua, who eventually led the Jewish people to victory, and Kalev, who was Moshe's brother-in-law, he was married to Miriam, they said, God is on our side. What's wrong with you people? The most powerful nation at the time, which was Egypt, had literally just been decimated with miracles. The sea was split. You guys saw what God can do. Hashem itanu, he said. Hashem itanu. Hashem is with us. Al tira'um. Don't be afraid of them. Don't do it to yourself. You're going to get into a difficulty. And they had very difficult battles. They didn't win every battle. It's very interesting that as we read later in the book of Joshua, the book of Yeshua, when the Jews were united, they won the battles. When they were not united, 20,000 Jews died in battle, 50,000 Jews died in battle. These were not enough small numbers. Even after that, they had difficult times. But what Kalev and what Yeshua said to them is, don't put yourself into a box before your enemy does it to you. Have, as I just mentioned, emunah and bitachon, faith and trust, and Hashem will save you. Hashem will take you. And in fact, of course, the result we all know. The result was that the Jews lived in Israel for 1,200 years, and eventually we have did ourselves in by our own sins, and we were kicked out, and we came back, and so on and so forth. So Jewish history in Israel is that Israel is difficult with difficult people, unless, and that's one big unless we are united in our faith and we're united as a people. And it's also very interesting that as we read through Jewish history, they were not all the time in Jewish history that the Jews were religious, quote unquote. Most of the time of these 1200 years I just mentioned to you were kicked out until the destruction of the Second Temple with the Romans. Most of the time, the Jewish nation as a whole, the majority of the Jews were not from, they were, some of them were actually idol worshiping or different things. But Hashem protected us as long as we were together. Famously in Tanakh, there was a king whose name was Ahav. And this king Ahav himself was an idol worshiping king. He never lost a battle, he never lost a soldier because people were united. We're going to read later in the Torah, and it's also in this week's Parsha, that the people got together. It's actually next week's Parsha, so we'll save it for next week as I'm thinking about it. The difference between unity and not unity. The Tower of Babel versus the generation of the flood. So that's next week's Parsha. Same lesson, same lesson. We have these same messages, these same lessons again and again in the Torah. But anyway, let's talk about the beginning. Let's talk about this week's Parsha. So this week's Parsha is the story of Bereishis, story of creation. Now, we know that the Torah scroll that we have in front of us is a mystical scroll. It means that the letters of the Torah scroll, as we read them, they form a certain story. But you lay them end to end with no spaces. If you're creative, and it happens to be a story. So if you're creative, you can pick out the story and the paragraphs and so on. But if you're very creative, you can create new stories out of the way the letters are, not all of them are going to make sense to you. But then you can also look for patterns. You can lay them instead of end to end. You could make strips of 50. You can make strips of 200, strips of two, strips of one. You can take the letters, as long as you keep the order correctly, you can make any combination you want. And then when you look at it, you can read it any way you want. That's the way the letters in the Torah work. The letters in the Torah are energy containers. They each have a certain energy pulse, every single letter. And that's why the Torah is not kosher. Even if it has the whole story, but it's missing one letter, the Torah is not kosher. Because every letter in the Torah contains an energy pulse that is required for the maintenance of the entire body of information, the entire body of energy. The way the Torah is presented to us is a very interesting way. We know that Torah has two parts to it. The first part, the way it was written out, is our history. It talks about creation. It talks about Abraham, the first Jew, and Sarah, his wife. It talks about Yitzchak, the child. It talks about Yitzchak's children. It talks about going down to Egypt. It talks about the giving of the Torah. It's our history. When you open up the Torah and you read the story, so it looks like a very nice storybook, a lot of Bible stories. Story of this, story of that, story of Adam and Eve, story of a snake, story of the tree of knowledge. And then there's, of course, the Torah part of Torah, which the word Torah means instruction, which is not just the story part of Torah, and that contains the mitzvahs. That contains the mitzvahs that we're supposed to do and the mitzvahs that the things that we're supposed to do as Jews. So the Torah therefore has two layers. Layer number one is history, stories, and layer number two is instruction, mitzvahs, how to live your life. You have to do Shabbat, you have to do kosher, you have to do this, you have to do the holidays, you have to live like this, you have to do like that, put on tefillin, have a mezuzah on your door. And, you know, a lot of different things to be done, and that's called the mitzvahs. So we have the history and we have the mitzvahs. The beginning of the Torah obviously starts with, as we know, the story of creation, the oldest story in the world. How was the universe made? How did the universe come into being? So the question, the obvious question that our sages asked us 2,000 years ago in the Midrash is, which one is more important to begin the instruction, to begin the book? Should we begin the book with how to live our life? Or should we begin the book with a story of creation? Nobody's saying that the story of creation shouldn't be in the book, but why does it have to be there right at the beginning? Let first tell us what to do every morning. First tell us, for example, the story of the Jewish calendar, which is the first mitzvah we were given, belief in God. I don't know, tell us different things. The Ten Commandments maybe should be the beginning. And then tell us about, by the way, God created the world and da da da, this and the stories. So put the stories in the back. That's not the way it works. So Rashi, who is, of course, the classical commentator on the Torah, tells us as follows. Rabbi Yitzchak said, it was not necessary to begin the Torah except from a later verse, which is the first mitzvah. So therefore, the question, of course, is why did the Torah begin with the story of creation? And Rashi answers us, because if the nations of the world will say to Israel, you are robbers, you don't own the land of Israel, you don't belong in the land of Israel, people lived here before you. I just told you a story that the Jews left Egypt and they conquered the land of Israel. So obviously somebody lived there before them. So maybe those people can come back and say there wasn't the Arabs, because the Arabs were living somewhere else. The Arabs were actually living in Jordan at that time. What's today Jordan? The Arabs were our cousins, was children of Ishmael, Abraham's older son. But at any rate, if somebody will say, Rabbi Yitzchak says, you are robbers, you have conquered by force the lands of the seven nations of Canaan. So the reply is, the entire earth belongs to Hashem, belongs to God, because God created it. And God decides who will live where. And in the Torah, he says to us that the land of Israel is yours. Happens to be, from a technical perspective, that Abraham had lived in Israel already for 200 years before the Jews came back. The story of the Jews is that, of course, that Abraham moves to Israel, lives there for 75 years, for 100 years, because he comes at the age of 75, dies at the age of 175. His son Yitzhak lives there for his entire life. Yitzhak is 180. This one, so he lived in his entire life. Yaakov lives in Israel for a long time. And then, of course, there's a hunger, and they go down to Egypt, and they whole stories. So the Jews did live in Israel for over 200 years before they left to go to Egypt and then to go back to Israel. So our connection to Israel is 3,700 years old. There's no society, not the Arabs for sure, that are that old, and they say that themselves. They're Abraham's children. So our connection to Israel is ancient, and our connection to Israel is in a deed document called the Torah. That the entire world subscribes to, the prophets of the Torah, the prophets of Islam, or believe in the prophets of the Torah. Not that I care what they believe, but they happen to believe it. So this is the beginning of this week. So as we Jews tell ourselves, if something belongs to us and somebody else is trying to take it away from us and not to allow us to live there, and they want to push us into the sea, they want to say it's not us, we are colonialists, we are this, we are that. We need to know that the Torah is the source of information, the only source of information. And we also need to approach, not from a political perspective, modern politics. The Arabs are approaching everything from religious perspective. So we feel uncomfortable, to quote religion back at them. But the truth of the matter is that that is the only proper response, is a religious response. And that religious response is the only correct response, not only the proper response. Everything else doesn't make any sense. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're going to say that our connection to Israel is because the UN gave it to us, because the Balfour Declaration, because of this, because of that. So they say, so what? We're older than the UN. And they're right. They are correct. The answer to that is it's not the UN. The UN recognized a reality and a truth that was thousands of years older than them. 3,700 years ago is Abraham. So this is the beginning of our part, our Torah, our portion this week. This week is called Shabbos Bereishis, the Shabbos of the beginning. And this week gives us the energy to continue through to the rest of all the stories of the Parsha. all the stories of the weekly Parsha. And it starts with this note. It starts with this idea that Hashem is the boss, plain and simple. The entire Torah is only supposed to, it's like saying you're going to, you're going to school. So you spend 8 years in school and then 4 years in high school and then college. For what? The answer is in order to become a mensch, I don't know, in order to become cultured, in order to earn a living. Like, why do you go through school? In order to develop. So at the end of all that, if you're incapable, let's say, of earning a living, let's say, or you have no idea of civility, so that what's your point of going to school? So every little thing that you learn is the entire point of everything in the Torah is to make us understand only one thing, and that is Hashem Hu HaElokim, that the power is God. If we don't get that, then we're completely, completely off base. I've been to a number of, we're talking about safety, we're talking about security, we're talking about a lot of different things, we're talking about humanity, we're talking about atrocity, we're talking about really, really terrible, terrible things. But we need to remember one thing, and that is Hashem Hu HaElokim. Hashem is, God is the power. And when we remember that, then we feel stronger, we feel more secure, and then, in fact, we are more secure. Not that Hashem isn't always there and protecting us, but it behooves us to at least recognize that Hashem is like waiting for us to say, hey, guys, like, where am I in the room? So that's what this week's parsha is all about. A lot of other amazing, beautiful concepts in the parsha. This is the time to strengthen ourselves in tefillah, in prayer. It strengthens ourselves in emunah, in faith, and in bitachon. And Natalie, you asked about emunah and bitachon. Let me just tell you very, very briefly that the Alter Rebbe in Tanya tells us that the word emunah, which means faith, comes from the root of the Hebrew word aman, aman. And aman means a craftsperson, someone who has practiced their craft, someone who has done something a long time for many, many times, and now is a professional at it. So, for example, if I told you that, the earth is, you can wake up in the morning and you're not going to fall off the edge of the earth. So a little kid is afraid of the boogie monsters in the closet at night. They go to sleep. They think that the world is, but eventually you become an adult and you realize that it's not going to happen. If I told you that, don't worry, difficult times, economic times are coming, and you look at your stock portfolio, and you look at this, and you look at that, and you don't know what's happened to the economy. But then you go to a person who says, here's the cycles, and I have experience, and so on and so forth. So then that's what emunah, that's faith. That's faith. Faith means I don't understand it. Don't understand it, but I do have faith. The faith in the future, I believe, based on experiences of mine and other people, I believe that things will turn around and I will keep investing and I will keep, I will go out to battle, let's say, even because I believe that based on this and this, there's a prognostications and so on. Faith is what keeps us going every single day. So faith, however, has to, faith is the point where logic stops. Because if it's logical, if it's right in front of your eyes, you don't need faith. So at a certain point, for every action that we undertake, we have to move one step beyond that. That's already faith. That's closing your eyes and taking a step forward. And that is called emunah, faith. And Alter Rebbe explains to us in Tanya how a person's faith in Hashem can be strengthened through exercises. The exercises are, look at your life, look at the life and story of the Jews. Realize that this is what's happening, and keep going, and recognize that Hashem runs the world, and the world has continued. So we look at our history, and we look at all kinds of different things happening, and we say we have faith in Hashem. Bitachon is a much higher step. Bitachon is trust, and bitachon means that we have no idea. So faith is still connected to logic. Bitachon is yet beyond that. We don't know from where our help is going to come. We don't see. But our faith is so strong that it allows us to have bitachon. It allows us to have trust. And therefore, we become completely serene. We are cocooned. So you jump off that bungee, and it's scary, and I don't know, I would do it, but I've never done a bungee jump, and I don't contemplate doing a bungee jump. But my kids have, and plenty of people have. You jump off that, but you watch the person in front of you, you watch the person in front of them, and get into that bungee thing, and you say, it's gonna, I don't know, doesn't looks crazy, but I'm sure it's gonna be a thrilling, exhilarating experience. I don't know why a person would choose that, but let's assume you have to for some reason. Then you say, I know with certainty. I know with certainty. Not that I think it's gonna, but I know with certainty I will be saved. And that is the point that we are at right now. We are not, we are, Emunah is the lower level. We have bitachon, we have complete and utter trust in Hashem. And we know with certainty that yes, doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but we will be seeing big nisim, big miracles. We will be seeing amazing, amazing stories coming out. And yes, the terrible, terrible, terrible atrocities that this led to. We have no clue why we have to suffer this way. We have absolutely no clue why we have to suffer this way. And Hashem has made us suffer this way over periods of time, whether it was the Kazakhs or Khmelnytsky or was the Holocaust or who knows what, stories of raping and pillaging and children and families being murdered. This we just went through, the Holocaust. You know, we just went through what the Nazis did, burning people, locking people in shuls, and then burning the entire shul down. How many stories do we know about that? My grandfather's, my own grandfather's whole entire village was killed, was murdered that way. It took all the women, all the children, anybody left in the village, and he was working in yeshiva, so he wasn't home that day. And they took everybody and they just locked them in the shul and they burned them down. So these are Nazis. This is not something that we as Jews, unfortunately, have not experienced in the past. Why we need to suffer? One day Hashem will answer that question too. I don't know why. But we are assured that we will be saved. That much we are assured of. So as we come into Shabbos Bereishis, which I mentioned to you is a joyous Shabbos, in general, Shabbos is a joyous time. We are assured with Emunah and Bitachon that, God willing, hopefully sooner, and it won't be that a long drawn out process, we will be able to have safety and security once again. So I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos, and I want to wish everybody a restful and a peaceful Shabbos. And it's very important to get together. It's very important to be unified in general, but it's also very important to get together so that the people, the world around us sees that we are not shaken. Our resolve is not shaken. We are strong. Here locally in New Jersey, there's another rally this Sunday in Livingston, but there's rallies all over the place, and it's very important to make more rallies and get together in many, many different ways. The next mitzvah, the mitzvah, ha'omed al ha'perek, the language of the Gemara, the one that's the right next to us, the very next step that we can do is lighting Shabbos candles. So let's not get distracted from the next mitzvah. Text every one of your friends, anybody who you think is going to light candles and not light candles, and tell them, we're going to light candles together at 6:02. You can make it 6 o'clock. You can make it 6:10, whatever. You know, just don't go past 6:20. Even New York, New Jersey, it's all the same. It's about 6:20. We light candles together, as many Jews as possible. And everybody has a power. Everybody has a friend. And if everybody lights with one more friend that would not ordinarily be lighting, all of a sudden, that's a huge, huge, huge increase in energy. Huge increase in energy. And if you could take a selfie as you're lighting, post it on your social media, create a wave. That is, it starts with one person. Social media, very, very powerful. The idea of,
Rabbi, very, very technical question. So we can live, take a picture, and then say a bracha, and after that, we stop using electronics, right? If we want to keep
you
Shabbat,
could,
right? So
you could.
technically, we can live, take a picture, and then say the
Yes, that's what you do anyway, right? So anyways, you don't
Yeah,
make
but
it.
I didn't know that between lighting and saying a bracha, we can use, let's say, the phone for the selfie.
Yes, you can absolutely light the candles, you take the picture, put your camera away or whatever it is, and then you make the bracha, and then so on. So that's what ordinarily done. You don't accept Shabbos until you make the bracha, right? Anyway, so what the
Yeah,
idea
I
is.
didn't know that technical question that between lighting and saying
Yeah.
bracha, there is that still, there is that
Yes, I'm not going to tell you that on a regular basis you should take a cup of coffee in the middle, but if there's a reason, there's a reason for it. So you're not supposed to go take a vacation in the middle, just but if there's a
yeah.
reason, yes, you're absolutely allowed to do it. And the idea is to create a impact. Not whatever, there's an impact in your own house, and that's a powerful impact. But if you can double and triple the impact by social media, of course, it's a beautiful thing. And you get other people to begin with. So this is very, very powerful stuff. We have opportunity, not just this Shabbos, next Shabbos too, and Shabbos after that. And the world doesn't come to an end as soon as the problem hopefully will be solved. But still, we still need all the same stuff. We should, like saying a person got sick because he ate the wrong stuff. So stop eating the wrong way, and then you get healthy and you start eating the wrong stuff again. So you gotta learn from your experiences. So something is good, let's keep it up. But at any rate, this is the Shabbos to start. So, ladies, I wish you all an amazing Shabbos, and we should have miracles happening all over the place. There's all kinds of heroic stories that we're hearing about. I'm sure you're hearing just as I'm hearing. So we should continue to hear those heroic stories. We should continue to hear that the hostages are returned. We should continue hearing that the people who are injured, so many people injured, should be completely cured and healed. And all the preparations they're making in the hospital, I'm sure you're reading how they're making preparations and hospitals don't ask that we should not need any of those additional preparations. And hospitals should be places where people give birth and people go for checkups. When you're 95 years old, you need to go to a hospital to get checked up. So to make sure you can live another 30, 25 years, till 120. So that's where we are. We are positive, we are strong, and we are united. And this is in Israel. I don't know if you've seen the clips of the people making tzitzis for the soldiers. It's unbelievable. And the people preparing packages and the people preparing food for the soldiers who had to leave their houses and drive directly to the border, and they have no food. And this, because until the army itself, you're talking about 300,000 reservists being called up, and for an army that ordinarily only has about 50,000. So yeah, they have resources, and I'm sure they'll put them into the thing. But until that all kicks into gear, is the unity of the Jewish nation is just unbelievable. The morale is just so high to the sky in Israel right now, and that's the truth. That is the message that we should be telling our friends here, and that's the message we're telling ourselves. The Israelis have morale high to the sky.